It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yeah, man, there is some stuff you need to know. You need to know that the U.S. Trade Court yesterday ruled against President Trump's latest 10% global tariffs, finding across-the-board tariffs were not justified under a 1970s trade law. The U.S. Court of International Trade ruled in favor of small businesses that challenged the tariffs, which took effect on February 24th. The ruling was 2-1, with one judge saying it was premature to grant victory to the small business plaintiffs. The small businesses had argued the new tariffs were an attempt to sidestep a landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision that struck down the Republican president's 2025 tariffs imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. In his February order, Trump invoked Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974, which allows for duties for up to 150 days to correct serious, quote, balance of payment deficits or head off an imminent depreciation of the dollar. Thursday's court ruling found the law was not an appropriate step for the kinds of trade deficits that Trump cited in his February order. That does not surprise me. He doesn't do a lot of research. He just acts out of whatever strikes his fancy that day. So that is that's good news for small businesses, yeah. Hopefully. And I hope they start getting those checks that they've been promised. Right. Now, we won't get any of that money. Don't get all excited. It's not like a tax refund. We're not going to see it, but small businesses will, which hopefully, in turn, will lower some prices.
Yeah, and for, you know, if you're looking at Wisconsin being a manufacturing agricultural state, I mean, this is good news. You have to be very, very happy across mm-hmm. this state, too, especially since we're a large exporter of machinery, paper products, dairy, so much more, because obviously businesses have to pay those tariffs, which in turn means we pay those tariffs, and we'll continue to remind Well, we're continuing
to mind. I don't
think
you understand economics, Jamie. Other countries pay those tariffs. That's what I've been taught.
That's right. That's right.
In my cut-rate economics class at Trump University. There is more stuff you need to know.
There is. We've got a few more headlines this morning. We're going to go back to talking about maps because it looks like
this is infuriating.
This is infuriating and not at all unexpected. Let's be realistic. Tennessee's Republican-dominated legislature passed redistricting maps yesterday, eliminating the state's one Democratic black majority congressional district a week after the U.S. Supreme Court effectively gutted that major section of the Voting Rights Act. The move cracks Tennessee's 9th congressional district, which covers Memphis, into three pieces, each of which contains almost exactly a third of the city's black voters. Now, these new maps mean that all 9 of Tennessee's congressional districts are Republican-leaning. The district had closely occupied the southwest corner of the state. Now, 3 districts snake out from Memphis's center, with 2 crossing the Tennessee River to reach Nashville suburbs 200 miles away. During a congressional session, as Democratic lawmakers spoke, the House Speaker directed state troopers to remove a section of the audience in the gallery, which had begun shouting. One state Democratic representative described Cameron Sexton, the Tennessee House Speaker, as, quote, the grand wizard in chief, and handed a Republican lawmaker a Confederate flag. The Democratic representative offered amendments to the bill, which the Speaker ruled had been submitted in an untimely manner. This comes 8 days. Just 8 days after the Supreme Court's landmark Calais versus Louisiana decision, which invalidated swaths of the Voting Rights Act, which had restrained state governments from drawing congressional districts that left black voters at a political disadvantage. Despite demands from the president for conservative states to conduct mid-decade redistricting, up until this point, up until yesterday, Tennessee had refrained from taking action before the court's ruling. I think essentially some of these states were actually just waiting for the U.S. Supreme Court.
Tennessee is an unusual case because 75% of the residents did not want it redistricted. And Memphis is unusual. Memphis's congressional district was not created by maps. Memphis is an organically African-American community. If you've ever been to Memphis, and I love Memphis, it's one of my favorite places, it is an unusual city, but it is predominantly black. And so that was, they had one seat. And yesterday, if you watched any of the footage, it was repugnant watching these Republican lawmakers walk out of the chambers smirking and grinning. And one was wrapped in a Trump 2024 flag. And they made no secret about the fact that this had nothing to do with politics, which was the basis of the case in Louisiana. This was all about getting that one black Democratic district gone. They wanted all the seats. They made no secret about it, and they got it. And for the governor, who said he was trying to do this to echo the will of the people was quite clear. They didn't want this redistricting. They didn't want this new map, but they got it anyway. And so now a city that is, it's a black city with Democratic vote. They've always voted Democratic.
But that's
now
the point.
We're going to cut that out. Yeah, oh, I know that's the point. But
it's just the point.
It's like, okay, Jim Crow, thank you.
And this isn't just about one state, right? Essentially
it's the latest. And it is the most blatant so far.
It essentially what happened last week at the U.S. Supreme Court changed the rules of the game. And we're going to see more and more of this as the next few months progress, because this is what my biggest concern was when the Supreme Court made this ruling. Because states are under their own jurisdiction to decide how these maps get redrawn, there is going to be a massive push for the midterms in November, because they know that if there's not a massive push, if they don't change these maps, they are not going to win. Polling would indicate in every phase that the GOP is going to be a loser when it comes to the midterm elections. And if you are in the state of Wisconsin, if you are anywhere listening on the app, and you are wondering, what do we do about this? First and foremost, you need to pay attention to what's happening, right? Because redistricting isn't always going to make headlines like this Tennessee case, but it has long-term consequences. You also need to show up. If there's a public hearing, if there's a local meeting, if there is feedback opportunities, these moments matter more than you think, because with enough pressure, sometimes you'll get somebody to cave. And sometimes it's just one vote. That's all you need, is one person to cave, and that's all it's going to take. Third, you need to stay informed about who is actually drawing these maps and how they're doing it. And finally, you need to get out and vote. I know. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds so repetitive, and it sounds so, at this point, easy. And like it doesn't matter. It does. You got to get out and vote, because if enough of us vote, even with redrawn maps, you can basically make your opinion heard, and you can reshape things based on your vote, even with a redrawn map.
Well, I would imagine if you are a black voter in Memphis, you are going to come out in hordes. Now, will it make a difference because now you're split up into three Republican districts? Maybe not. Probably not. But it will make a dent, and it will show. There will be a statement there. Will be a statement, and then we just have to make sure that if the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate, that they pass this gerrymandering bill that has been sitting in Congress for decades. It's been there. Yeah. It just has to be passed. But all right, let's move on to something a little closer to home, because who doesn't love a good book ban? Oh, my goodness. In 2024, parents in Menominee Falls filed a complaint with the state alleging the school district's removal of a children's book depicting same-sex families was discriminatory. Now, 2 years later, the DPI says it has limited authority to assess whether the school district of Menominee Falls violated its local policies or the law. Oh, really? Pass the buck a little bit? Menominee Falls parents say DPI and the state superintendent Jill Underley took too long to rule and missed its chance to show support for LGBTQ+ families. Chris Bucker, the spokesman for DPI, told WPR that Wisconsin is a local control state, so DPI is generally not allowed to overturn a district's decision to remove a specific book from its collection. He said, "Our role is to assess whether legal requirements and local policies were followed in a given situation." In October 2023, the district pulled 33 books from the shelves after deeming them too, quote, sexually explicit. Here's one of the books. Jamie, you can let me know if you think this is sexually explicit. It's called Love Makes a Family. It's by Sophie Beer. It is a picture book that describes that was described on Amazon and is an exuberant, broad book. It says whether a child has two moms, two dads, one parent, or one of each, this simple preschool read aloud demonstrates that what's most important in each family's life is the love of the family members.
I'm failing to failing to see what's wrong with the book.
Well,
I'm failing.
Maybe I didn't read the description clear enough.
Okay, all right.
Whether a child has two moms or two dads.
Oh, is that the problem? Is that that
two
must,
moms or two dads?
That must
is
be
not
the problem.
Christian and biblical.
Gotcha. I'm looking at the book right now. Like I'm looking through.
I looked at it yesterday. Very nice.
It's a very lovely book. This is a tapestry of color and fun. And
it's not a how-to.
No.
Being a same-sex marriage.
It's a beautiful book.
It's about hey, your family. If no matter who you are, what kind of family you have.
It's beautiful.
Why should we tell kids that there's different families? Why should we open kids' views up to, hey, Parker has two mommies and Brian has two daddies and Jamie just has a mommy and Frank was raised by wolves and is fueled by hate. But so everybody's family is different. But if you love your family, that's what's important.
I mean, let's be clear. Every family in this country in 2026 looks different, right? They really, truly do. Everybody's family looks different. There is no right or wrong in how. I mean, there's things.
I think DPI passed the buck here.
Of course,
they could have said something. They could have said something within 2 years. And, you know, even if they couldn't change it, they could have made a statement because you have people from the LGBTQ+ community in your schools, in your communities. Their children are being educated under your system. They deserve at least a statement.
Yes.
That while we don't agree with any books being banned, we have to defer to the district. So if you have issues, we urge you to speak to your superintendent or the school board. That would have been the right thing for DPI to do. They did not do that. They fell flat, and we're calling them out.